You know, if we'd go around the room, and I'd ask each one of you to stand up and say, what's the greatest desire of your heart? Somebody might say, I'd like a closer walk with Jesus. Somebody might say, I'd like to have a greater knowledge of the Bible. Somebody might be a little more practical or earth-minded and say, you know, I've got some health issues I'd like to see resolved. Somebody else, you know, I've got some financial issues that I'd like to see resolved. Somebody might say, well, you know, there's some family situations that are really concerning me, and I'd like to see those taken care of. Somebody might say, well, you know, I've got some people that on my heart, they need to be saved. And I'd like to see them come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And there might be some others that would be the greatest desires of your heart. Well, now we know that those things are going to come from the Lord. But how are we going to get them? How are we going to obtain those great desires of our heart? Sometimes we act as if God had a big old barrel sitting beside of the throne. And in that barrel is the name of everybody in the world. And every morning, God reaches into that barrel and pulls out some names and says to the angels, these are the ones I'm going to bless today. You know the old Doris Day song, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. You know that. And God just reaches in and he pulls it out and, oh, I'm going to bless Ed Louder today. Or I'm going to bless Leonard Harville today or whoever. But what if he doesn't pull your name out? What if you go all your life and he never pulls your name out? Boy, isn't that a miserable, bleak, gray thought? I mean, I make a joke out of it, but it's the truth. There's a lot of Louders in Stanley County, but when the rich ones die, they never call and ask me to attend the reading of the will. So, you know, my name's never been called. What a bleak thought that there's all of these blessings of God that we need, we want, we desire, and we're waiting for God to draw our number. Is there a better way? What if there's some things that we could do that would make a difference? There is. There really are. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. The book of Proverbs, chapter 4. And we're going to start reading at verse 20. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What are you listening to? And what are you looking at? What are you listening to? And what are you looking at? You know, there are times I envy the people that lived 400 years ago up in the hollers and of North Carolina and Kentucky and West Virginia. And out on those plains in Oklahoma and Kansas and out in those ranches in Montana. I'm not sure they're already out there 400 years ago in Montana, but you know what I'm saying. War could be declared between two countries in Europe, fought and ended, and they never heard about it. There could be a tsunami in Japan. They never heard about it. Plague goes through Africa. They never heard about it. But what are we at today? We are bombarded 24/7 with news. I mean, you can flip on your TV, your iPhone, your iPad, or whatever, all these other devices, and you can find out about every terrible thing that's happening anywhere in the world. Now, you don't find out about a whole lot of good things that are happening anywhere in the world, but mostly just bad stuff. And 24/7. And you know, years ago, if a family had a family Bible and a copy of Pilgrim's Progress, if you haven't read that, that's something good for you to read. And maybe a couple of books by Shakespeare, they felt they were blessed. And now we got newspapers and magazines, and some of them are good, and some of them are pornographic, and some of them are just junk. We got all kinds of things for our eyes to see. So what are we seeing? What are we hearing? The writer of Proverbs says this: attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. He's saying, listen, make the focus of your life the Word of God. Think about it. Look at it. Study it. Attend to it. You know, if you attend to something, you're going to pay attention. You're going to heed it. You're going to do it. He said, focus your mind and your thoughts upon the Word of God. Now, when some of us have jobs that require paying close attention. If you don't, you'll have to slice your finger or do something else. Dangerous. But you know, I find when I'm riding down the road, I can focus my mind, at least part of it, anywhere else, as long as I'm keeping my eyes on the road and watching the people driving around me. I can think about the Lord, or I can think about crazy stuff. I can focus my mind where I want to. In the safety and the quietness with the windows up in my car, I can sing Christian songs, or I can sing country music, or whatever. I get a choice. And he says, listen, focus your mind and your heart upon the Word of God. And not only just seeing it, but accepting it, believing it, doing it. Who do we listen to? Somebody comes on the news and says, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. Do we listen to that, or do we listen to the Word of God? Your family, your friends always have an opinion. Which do you accept when there's a choice between that and the Word of God? Do you accept the opinion of family and friends, or do you accept what the Word of God says? You know, we have a lot of bad case of, I know God's Word says, but. Well, if you got Billy Goat religion, you're in trouble. But? Butting against the Word of God? You believe that, you know, the old saying, God said it, I believe it, that settles it? That's true. But God said it, and that settles it, whether you believe it or not. Do we believe the Word of God? And notice he goes on to say, incline thine ear unto my sayings. You know, if you wanted to whisper a secret to me, what am I going to do? I'm going to lean over, make sure I get it. I'm going to make sure I don't miss what you're wanting to tell me. The writer of Proverbs says, listen, incline your ear. Lean over, make sure you don't miss what God is saying to you. He says, let it not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. In a few minutes, when church is over, or maybe more than a few minutes, and we get out on the parking lot, you parents and grandparents, you're going to keep your eyes focused on those little kiddies. You want to make sure they don't run out in front of a vehicle that's moving, because they are precious to you. He says, God's word ought to be so precious to us that we always have our eyes on it. If you have a valuable possession, you're going to keep it under surveillance. Many of you right now, you probably pull out your cell phone and look at it and see if there's anything going on at your house. I was with my brother, you know, and he lives way back in the woods, like some of you do. And he had his cell phone. I thought, what's that doing? He said, well, it looks like there's a squirrel on my front porch. Because something set off the alarm. Something set off the alarm. And we're down in Montgomery County. But he's looking at his cell phone, the surveillance of his house. The writer of Proverbs says, listen, keep your eye focused on the word of God because it's valuable. It's important. And notice the last verse that I read. Keep your heart for with all diligence, for out of it flow all the issues of life. Everything about life. Now, go back to the verse before that, or the verses that, two before that. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. And some translations say they're life and medicine. They are life and medicine. In other words, it says God's word has a practical application that says, I'm going to affect your body physically. I'm going to affect your body physically. But then when he goes on to say, in your heart, there's all the issues of life. Then everything that we mentioned in the beginning that are the desires of our heart, are affected by how we focus in on the word of God. How it becomes a part of our life. That we think about, we meditate on, we learn, we do. You say, well, Ed, I come to church every Sunday. I'm paying you to feed me. Let's try a little experiment. Next Sunday, if you're coming to Sunday school, eat breakfast. If you stay for preaching, eat lunch. But don't eat anything else till Wednesday night. And if you don't come Wednesday night to Bible study, don't eat anything. And even if you come to Wednesday night Bible study, you eat supper, but you don't eat anything till next Sunday morning. You say, preacher, I can't do that. My diabetes will be all messed up. My metabolism will be all messed up. I'll be sick. I'll have my blood pressure shoot all kind of crazy way. I might die. That's what we're doing to ourselves spiritually. We're eating once or twice a week, many of us. And we're thinking, man, I am good to go. And we're wondering why all kinds of things happen that we don't understand. And the people that are growing and maturing in the Lord and growing strong and healthy spiritually and in other ways are people who let the Word of God become a vital part of their life. That they read it, they study it, they read and study books that are appropriate. They sing it, they think it. And they do it, they apply it. And don't just spiritualize this. Now, God, the most important thing is, I mean, if you're healthy and rich and die and go to hell, you blew it. God first wants you saved, and then he wants you to be in a growing relationship with him. But God's not opposed to you being healthy and having enough money to pay your bills. God's not opposed to you having a right relationship with your spouse and your kids and your parents and your neighbors and your co-workers. Don't just spiritualize it all away and say, well, it's all spiritual. It is, but God is into you being blessed here and now. If he wasn't, why did he put Adam and Eve in a garden where they had all that good stuff? I mean, he could have put them in a garden and said, you can't have anything but this one thing. You're going to have to eat bananas for the rest of your life. Nothing else. No, he gave them everything except that one tree. God wanted them blessed. Why did he tell the children of Israel, we're taking you into land that what? Flowing with milk and honey. He didn't say anything about hardtack and vinegar. Milk and honey. God wants you blessed. And it's not a matter of God sitting over there in his throne and pulling out your name out of a hat. It's how much you are willing to study and apply the Word of God. You say, well, Ed, that's sort of Old Testament. You got anything in the New Testament? Yeah, let's look in the New Testament. We won't take long to do this. I'm just going to more or less read some verses. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Beginning at verse 12, 1 Timothy 4, 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given unto thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine, continue in them, for in so doing thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear. He said, you live right, you stay involved in the Word of God, and people will be able to look at your life and say, you know, they're different because of God. Flip over a couple of pages to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Sometimes my fingers and these pages don't want to work. Chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. He says to stay in the Word of God, and it's going to make a difference in your life. Now turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Is that read in your Bible like it is in mine? Jesus talking. Abide in me, my words abide in you. Now, you can go to a motel and stay a night or two or a week. But if you abide someplace, that's where you live. And Jesus said, if my words abide in you, and it brings you into a relationship with me where you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can just come to me in prayer and get most anything you want. Now, the catch to that is, we're going to want what he wants. We're going to want what he wants. But you see, the point is, the blessings of God, spiritual and earthly, are not on the basis of God's random choice. They're on the basis of our knowledge and application of the Word of God. Let me give you this illustration. Let's say I had lots and lots of money. And I decided I wanted to bless you. And I sneaked around and found out what bank you used and what the account number was. And I went down to the bank and I said, I really like this person. And I really want to bless them. And I want to put $1 million in their account. And then I wrote you a letter that said, you're such a good friend. And I just feel out the Lord lead me to bless you. So today I went down to such and such a bank and I put $1 million in your account. About 2 or 3 days, you get a letter in the mail. You go in through your mail. Well, here's a letter from Preacher Ed. Wonder what he wants. I'm in a hurry. I ain't got time to read it. Besides, he's probably wanting a donation for something. Or maybe he just wants to fuss at me for not coming to revival. And so you throw it up on the shelf. And every week, and every month, and every year, you go through life saying, man, I'm broke. I can't pay my bills. I wish I had some money. I wish I could do this. And I wish I could take the family on a special vacation. Man, it's just sick to be broke. I'm terrible about being broke. And you died broke. About 3 or 4 days after you're in heaven, you think you're looking over the balcony and there's your family down there in your house. They going through your stuff, going to settle your estate. And they're going through and they say, well, here's a letter from Preacher Ed. I wonder who that was. Wonder what he said. Are we going to thought, well, let's just open it. And they say, oh, Preacher Ed left Daddy or Mama $1 million. And they live broke for 40 years. And you sit up there in heaven, you're going to say, I missed it. This book is worth more than you can ever imagine. In every area of your life. But if you don't open it, and if you don't believe it, and if you let other voices drown out or contradict what God says rather than what God says, you're going to die, go to heaven, but you're going to miss out on a lot of blessings between now and then. It's not a random choice. God's not drawing numbers and you just got to hope he gets yours. God's got a book full of blessings here, a whole letter, a love letter we call the Holy Bible. It's up to you whether you're going to read it, believe it, and apply it. As we have the invitation, if there's someone that needs to make a decision, we invite you to come.